Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started with today's show and talking about our sponsors, I want to take a moment for acknowledging everybody in the Los Angeles and Northern California areas who are impacted by the fires. Our hearts go out to you. We are so sorry, and we are keeping you in our thoughts. I know I have many close friends who have been impacted by the fires, and so just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that's going on. Today on the show, we are going to be having Michael Contento here to talk to us a little bit about how we utilize our time management. Before we dive into the show with Michael, though, I do want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search, LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and recently launched a payrolling service for any employers who may want to convert their independent contractors to be payrolled through a company to help be in alignment with the new laws and legislation going around. So please do keep Markham Search in mind for all of your professional, temporary, and executive recruiting needs. So today, as I mentioned, we have with us on the show Michael Contento. Michael is somebody who is an entrepreneur whom other entrepreneurs consult for advice, in part because he achieved his success the old-fashioned way. He was the youngest boy in an Italian family of six children. Contento did not have the benefit of an MBA or any other post-secondary degrees. Instead, he worked his way up as an hourly worker making minimum wage to his current role as the CEO of My Blue Umbrella, a 40-plus person employee IT services company with $12 million in revenue and a 15% compound annual growth rate. Today, Contento delivers simplicity in the form of tech management and consulting services to some of Canada's highest performing companies. His leadership of the Maple Leaf chapter of the TrustX Alliance, Ingram Micro's elite association of IT firms, won the group its first ever Chapter of the Year award in 2014. Also, he is the CEO of a chain of pharmacies located across the Greater Toronto area. Contento owns and manages a large portfolio of real estate, and is also his registered charity, Do Amazing Things, empowers the disadvantaged to fulfill their career ambitions. Thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so I was so funny. I'll never forget the moment I got the press release from your publicist. You know, you get a lot of these press releases, and yours really caught my attention, which is this concept of when everybody was watching the Game of Thrones, you know, finale, nobody was asking that question, what else could we have done with those 72 hours or so of our life, or with any 72 hours that we invest into any season? So how did this become an inspiration for you? Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, it's really one of the key things that I think really contributed to my success in life, just really understanding time and time management. I value time as the most precious thing that we get to have in life. So when Game of Thrones, you know, all my friends and colleagues are ranting and raving about Game of Thrones, I tried desperately to watch it. I really want, and I still have to finish it, to be honest with you. So no spoiler alerts today, please. And every time I try to watch it, something just more pressing came up, and you know, I was able to use that time, and that gave me much more value than just watching a TV show. So essentially, the thought came up is I just don't get how so many people have this much time to dedicate themselves in watching these TV shows, and I don't. And I just tried to understand what was the biggest difference. And it came out that when it comes to careers, some people value time differently than I do, really.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's funny. I'll never forget when one of my mentors told me years ago, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this exercise. I believe it's called the 168-hour exercise. And so if I'm not mistaken, I think it's if you take 24 hours in a week times 7 hours or 7 days in a week, you get 168 hours. And my mentor at the time instructed me, Jen, I want you to meticulously go through your week and I want you to account for every second and every minute of your week, whether you're eating food, whether you're spending time with friends, reading a book. And when you approach it that way, what I found for me, Michael, is I was astounded at how many extra hours I had or could make room for to do the things I was most passionate about if I actually allocated my time appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't heard of that one in particular, but there's a few of the same methodologies in really tracking your time. And it's quite astonishing when you actually start illustrating that time that you're putting your investment towards, you see what kind of return you're getting. I find at work, what I talk about a lot is the minutes. I hear managers always say, you know, I have so much to do, but I never got anything done today. And what it was is they say that so many colleagues stopped them for a 10-minute meeting, a quick impromptu 10-minute meeting, but they had six of those throughout the day and they don't realize they call it 10 minutes, but they never really add up that it happened six times today. And the 10 minutes times six just wasted an hour, which really, really destroyed their day. So one thing I do with time management is it's not that I don't focus on the amount of hours. I really count my minutes. I really make sure that I manage my minutes properly. And you'll find that when you start looking at a granular aspect when it comes to time, you'll increase quite a lot more throughout the day.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's funny because, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine recently and she was saying she was working from home. I think it was, in fact, because of the fires last Friday. And she said, Jen, it's just so funny because, you know, my kid's school is closed and here I am working at home because of the fires. And even if I only do 4 or 5 hours worth of work because my kids are home, I'm accomplishing double the amount that I would get done or triple the amount that I would get done in the office because I've noticed most people in the office, it's like an 80-20 rule, like 80% of the time, maybe you're working and 20% of the time is more socializing.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think the biggest challenge is people have a hard time calculating that time. So they don't fundamentally understand. They look at it as 10-minute meetings throughout the day, but they don't realize the amount of time they actually just spent on that social aspect.
So because here's another question for you, Michael, is how then do you determine the value of the social aspect? Because I know some of our listeners out there might be tuning in and thinking, well, that 10-minute meeting is what I needed to do to have time with Susie in the office because she's the one who's going to promote me the next time I come up for review. So how do you then quantify whether that 10-minute meeting is going to, you know, come back to you in spades down the road as opposed to just drain your time and drain your workday?
And that's a great question, and this is really a great exercise if you can pull it off. All time management throughout the day is really what's going to give you the best outcome. We develop an app at My Blumbella. It's quite a neat app, and what it is it helps people manage their tasks. So everything I talk about is the minutes. I find, you know, the more minutes we can gain throughout the day, we'll get a lot more accomplished. So this task called simplified outcomes that we developed through our D2 concept to deliver simplicity and drive growth, really you put in your tasks, and for each task you answer six different little questions, yes or no questions. And what this application does, it really prioritizes your task in order of which one it believes you'll yield the best outcome. And even these meetings, you put a task in, I need to meet service for a delivery for client X. And answering the six questions, it really prioritizes the task on which outcome is going to be greater to achieve throughout the day. So I completely agree that the 10 minute meeting will pay off tenfold later on. Problem is, in a social atmosphere, and My Blumbella is very social, most of us have been there, valuing which 10-minute meeting is truthfully valued, I think it's a talent in itself. So unless you have that skill set to really understand which 10-minute meeting is going to pay off, it's hard to do. It's truly hard to do.
Yeah, and I think it's become even more pertinent in today's society because of this huge focus on EQ. I know for me, when I started in business, I was so outcome-oriented. that I was amazing at achieving outcome, producing. But then I was leaving the EQ thing by the wayside and people felt disconnected and it hurt my business. And then you actually have to carve out a certain amount of time. Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 15% of your time for that emotional quotient side of things and figure out, okay, you know, how much time do I need to get to know the team members and to develop that sense of camaraderie in the office, even though it might not lead to direct production results, it can lead to greater sustainability and greater retention of team members.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our managers, our service manager calls it his cheerleading aspect. So he takes his 10-minute meetings to throughout the day that he has to cheerlead his staff. He has a staff of 20. It's very important for him to give them that sort of attention that builds up the camaraderie to succeed more throughout the day. So I totally agree. It's, you know, please don't get me wrong. It's not that these impromptu meetings aren't beneficial. It's the amount of meetings throughout the day that can really get you off course. And I think sometimes it's very easy to have multiple meetings and maybe two of the four are meetings that you could have maybe passed on.
You know, it's so perfect that you brought that up, Michael, because what occurred to me is that there is this concept of having good physical, emotional, and verbal boundaries with people. And I've noticed that there are people in offices where a complaint I'll hear from different executives or people who are looking to leave a job is that they have X or Y emotional vampire, that person who is needy or the drama queen.
I love that. Yeah.
And those are the people who are the clueless jerks in your office who are taking down everybody's productivity, including yours. And it's about learning to have boundaries. Yes, two of those four meetings might be crucial to the success of the organization, but those two meetings where somebody just is needing your time and attention because they just are being dramatic, that's something that I think we all have an opportunity to learn to navigate. And when somebody's going through that, you create, somebody taught me to create fake time constraints. It sounds worse than it is, but you know, if somebody comes up and starts talking your ear off and you can tell that they're just taking your energy and emotionally sucking you dry, then you just say, oh, you know what, Bob, thank you so much. I actually have a meeting in 5 minutes. Do you mind if I get back to you later on this? And half the time they'll go bug somebody else, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, what we practice quite a bit at My Blue Umbrella is we now got into the habit of asking for agendas. So when we ask each other for a meeting this week, we'll actually start posting the agenda ahead of time. So we understand what was really interesting, Jennifer, some of the attendees don't show up until half of the meeting. So they say, hey, the first three items have really nothing to do with me. Do you mind if I come 15 minutes later? And it makes sense. We actually produce more because there's less people in the room. And instead of just sitting there for the first three items listening, they come in for item number 4 through 10, which becomes more productive. And some people might leave the last two items because has nothing to do with them. So we really produce agendas ahead of time. And apart from that, we also announce from the get-go a hard stop. So we blatantly say, okay, this is a one-hour meeting. It's a hard stop. You know, we have other clear objectives to tend to. I think if you don't put that hard stop, a meeting can get emotional. And from 1 hour, it goes to 1 hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, and which really derails you as well.
I love what you just said, Michael. I think it's so brilliant. And I think that it's a great way for corporations and people to figure out, hey, how can I help be the most productive version of myself on whatever team I'm working on? To your point is having that agenda and saying, okay, this division, it's irrelevant for you to be here for that. I think it's great that you give your employees the leniency and the flexibility to be able to allocate their time and resources appropriately rather than forcing them to be there just for egotistical reasons, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We really empower our staff, our colleagues. We try to hit a certain utilization in our company. We try to hit a minimum of 75% above. And it's not just bill rates, it's just time management. It could be an administrative person that's trying to hit 75% of their utilization throughout the day to really achieve their tasks. So ideally, if they have a list of 10 tasks, they're trying to achieve at least, you know, 7 to 8 of those tasks to be complete throughout the day. And the way we do that is really respect each other's time.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to do. And it's funny because I know we started off this conversation by talking about Game of Thrones. So for those of my listeners out there who probably don't want to hear this part of this conversation, feel free to tune out. We won't blame you. We've kind of focused a little bit on the work side of, okay, how do we increase our productivity at work? But some people out there are saying, please don't take away my Hulu or my Netflix time or my Game of Thrones time. What does one have to do with the other? So how do those two tie in?
So really, and I'm treading lightly with this because I think I had a bit of a backlash myself on this topic. A lot of my own friends and colleagues saying, you know, what's the problem with Game of Thrones? And I said, no, nothing. There's nothing wrong with investing the time. There's some people that truly have the time to watch Game of Thrones. There's completely nothing wrong with watching TV. Where I have the challenge is if someone's trying to build a career, if someone's trying to exponentially grow or have some incredible levels of achievements that they want to hit for, but yet they always say they never have the time. And when you speak to them, they are caught up on every possible TV show there is. So that's the question is when you start evaluating your time on what you're putting that's most valuable or important to grow yourself. And if they're so consumed in their TV shows every day, I would question if Game of Thrones or whatever it is. I do watch Netflix. You said it perfectly. And the way I watch Netflix is when I go to the gym in the morning, the exercise machine I use is the Stairmaster. And as much as I dislike that machine very much, I watch my 30 minutes of Billions. And it's not a 30 minute show. It's a 45 minute show. So I never get to watch a full episode. But that's my time to watch TV. That's how I value that time to watch a bit of TV. So for those that watch Game of Thrones or Billions or any other show that are truly trying to grow, but yet they can't find the time to grow, my question is, how do you have the time to watch these TV shows, but yet you don't have the time to grow?
Yeah, well, one of my friends said to me years ago, if you want to look at what you're committed to, look at what you have. And so, you know, or if you want to know what you're committed to, yeah, look at what you have. And because what you do is a lot of times, so many of us, there's nothing wrong. To your point, Michael, I completely agree with you. If you want to sit there and you want to watch Orange is the New Black, you want to watch, you know, any series, Game of Thrones, whatever it might be, all the more power to you. But the only time where it conflicts is if you say, oh gosh, life is just so hard. I don't get that time that I want with my kids.
Exactly.
Or I wanted to really get that promotion. Then what you're doing is all of a sudden inconsistent and you're creating needless suffering in your life. And so what if you looked at, okay, it's not that you have to give up all of Game of Thrones, maybe just don't watch the entire series in a month, you know, maybe just allocate and watch it over a 3-year period. So that way you can have an extra half hour at your son's soccer game or, you know, any sort of thing that's important to you and just reprioritize what really matters to you. Because I think so rarely do we look at that as human beings as where are our priorities and are we actually committed to achieving them, family or otherwise?
Yeah. And Jennifer, I think you said it perfectly. I think what it is that we just don't look at it. We rarely look at it. And I think people look at it, oh, that was only a 30-minute TV show. You're exaggerating. You're making, you know, you're making something big out of something small type thing. But what they don't see is that when you add the 30 minutes times so many series, so many episodes through so many series, it adds up to quite a lot of time that can be invested in something that can help you in many other. And you're correct. It doesn't mean just career. It could be time with your kids. It could be time with your friends,
significant other, whoever it is.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So I think it's rarely seen that these, and like I said earlier, it's the minutes. It's rarely seen that the 30 minutes really amount to something greater. I think it's very surprising when people would use the 168, you said?
Yeah, 168-hour exercise.
So when people start applying the minutes into 168 hours, I think you and I wouldn't be surprised that 90% of the people that would do it would be astonished at what they're going to find out.
you might even discover what I found for myself, Michael, is how much extra time I had. Like I was killing time playing Words with Friends or doing mind-numbing things that were not bringing any joy or satisfaction to my life, but they were just filling up minutes while I was waiting for an appointment here or there rather than catching up with a good friend. And so for me, I just found it's valuable when we actually, when we look at what matters. I was in a class like 2 or 3 years ago. It was like just an inquiry, and that was the title of the class, of what matters to you. And you would sit there and share with the person sitting next to you. And so we would all go around and share one-on-one. And the guy sitting next to me, young kid, says to me, what really matters to you? And I said, well, building schools. And he said, well, great. What are you doing about it? And about probably 5, 6 years ago, Michael, I'd gone to Cambodia to build a school and I kind of gave up on it. It seemed too daunting. You know, I was going to give money and then you have to figure out all this international stuff. And so I kind of gave up on it. And so this kid says to me, he says, well, why don't you start focusing on that? So in that moment, I shared in front of a room of 100 people. I don't know what it looks like, but what really matters to me is building schools and helping people around the world. And in 6 months, I was on track to build my first school in Nepal, and I'm building my next one in Senegal in a month. And it's That's just amazing. Yeah, but it was crazy because here I took this extra time that I had been allocating, you know, towards nothing wrong with Netflix or Words with Friends or whatever it was. And I started instead redirecting and pivoting that energy towards something positive that would make me feel good and bring me joy and satisfaction and a greater sense of self. And all I had to do was pivot towards the positive. Oh, Michael, did we lose you? I think we may have lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, there you are.
It's okay. Technical difficulties. That's another thing. We all have little technical difficulties here and there. So go ahead.
No, I really love where you were going. It's not to quote, I believe your book, Stop Hoping and Start Hunting. It sounds very familiar. Like it sounds like you and I have a lot in common because I'm the same way. Instead of just dreaming it or hoping it, just do it. And it sounds like at one point you just decide to do it and you achieve some great success in going, building these schools. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. And all it is just for me, at least, for what it was for me, I can't speak for any of our listeners out there or even for yourself, Michael, was just realizing that it was something I wanted. And then clearing away, it's kind of like, well, who was it? Michelangelo said, you know, when he was creating David, that all he did is kind of chipped away at what wasn't David. And so much like us in our life purpose, you might be sitting out there and you might be thinking, I don't care about my life purpose. I don't want to build schools. I don't want to build a company. And I want to be clear, there is nothing wrong with that. If you wake up every day, and if you wake up happy and you go to bed happy, do what you're doing. Watch 72 times all of Game of Thrones. Doesn't matter. We're not here to tell you to do it or not, but I will tell you that a majority of the human beings who I speak with around the world, more so in the United States though, find themselves unhappy when they wake up and unhappy when they go to bed. And I'm interested in how we can shift that and have people have greater satisfaction and happiness in their lives.
So the way we do it, at MindBlowingBella, we use, there's a methodology that we developed, that I developed. We call it the D2 methodology. And it delivers simplicity and drive growth. And everything we do throughout the day, we really ask ourselves. I literally hear my colleagues say when they're helping a team member, they would say, you didn't D2 that. If we're making things very complex, we're never going to drive growth. We may drive growth, but it'll take a very long time to drive that growth. So everything we do, we try to simplify it. If it's simple, we will drive growth immediately. So we're in the tech industry, as you know. MindBlowingBella is a tech company. So we want our clients to say, well, we recommend MindBlowingBella because they make it so simple for us to do our work. And by making it simple for them, they get to grow themselves. So deliver simplicity and drive growth, a D2 concept, I think, can be applied in pretty much all facets of life. If you make it simple for yourself, you'll notice that you're actually going to do it. One of the things we do where we apply D2 quite a lot is in our foundation, our charity foundation of doing amazing things, where we empower people. We're trying to bring an extra level of education to the people we fund through D2 that we deliver some simple education for them to grow themselves and get better careers. So all our mechanisms within the foundation is truly a simple format for them to increase a higher level education. So I believe if our colleagues or friends and family, whoever, uses a form of D2 or deliver some place to drive growth, they will capture so much time and they get to watch Game of Thrones. They'll get to watch any show they want.
Yeah, I think that's great because it's all about, people hate the word efficiency. It's funny. It's such a businessy word, right? And, I'm sure there's a lot of bohemians and other sorts of people out there. There are many types of people who might think, oh, I don't need to be more efficient. But you're right. You don't have to be more efficient. You can languish and take your time to do 3 hours to do one task. It's not good or bad. It just depends on, are you somebody who's going around and saying, oh, I'm so busy, I never have enough time? One of my clients called me out on it years ago. I remember the exact moment she said, oh, Jen, I know how busy you are. And so I don't want to interrupt you. I'm only going to take a minute of your time. And I was like, wow, this is people's listening of me, is how busy I am. And that's probably not going to be good for my business either. And I began to shift not only how I acted, but how I spoke about it.
Absolutely, I agree. It could be a slippery slope if you're conveying the wrong message. I deliver as much as I can within a reasonable amount of time. But the key thing there, Jennifer, is making people understand that we value time. You can take hours of my time if it's for the right reason. It goes back to the 10-minute impromptu meetings. Reason why this is so fresh, we had one today where it was a 10-minute impromptu meeting that led to almost just over an hour. And what the outcome of this meeting is that you had four frustrated people in here saying, you just wasted an hour of my time. So it doesn't matter the amount of time, as long as it's really tracked and understood what the value is coming out of that time.
Yeah, and what's funny that I just thought of too, Michael, is one of our other guests who we have had on the show a few times is Dr. Paul White, who co-wrote the book Appreciation at Work with Dr. Gary Chapman about the five languages of appreciation in the workplace. And what I just realized too is that you have to find out what way your employees feel valued or what way your clients feel valued. Because to Dr. Paul White's point from the research he did in his book, not all of us respond to words of affirmation. So sometimes you might need to carve out an extra 10 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes a week for somebody who values quality time and just allocate that into your 168 hours in a week. So that way that person feels appreciated. Or if that's something you need, ask your mentor or leader for that. So that way your needs are met too, because I think that's an important thing, is to achieve success in whatever you do and happiness, but also you want to be thoughtful of yourself and your needs as well as the needs of those around you.
You cut out for
a... Oh, did you lose me, Michael? Are you there?
I couldn't agree more. It's affirmation can be taken sometimes in a negative way. It depends how... What I found is within our time management system at My Little Umbrella, some people take affirmation sometimes as a waste of time. So it at the same time, a lot of people need it to produce more. But I completely agree. Very interested in Dr. White.
Yeah, he's wonderful. We've had him on for, I think, two or three times on the show in the last year and a half because of some of his research. And it seems like it might be an alignment. There might be a great cohesiveness between what you and his company are doing. So do tell me, Michael, are there any takeaways or anything that I didn't get a chance to ask you about in today's show that you would love to leave our listeners with today?
I would say, if you're thinking about time management, really rethink the way you spend your time. Just really understand what's going to bring you the best value. And once again, it's not just about work. It's not just about a career. It could be family time. It could be personal time. It could be your time, your alone time, your exercise time. Understanding that time is one of the most valuable commodity that we all can ask for. We tend to experience that the time when it's too late to get it back. I would say really, really rethink the way you spend your time. And so almost be cheap with your time. But at the same time, just engage in the shared experience versus versus just any experience. There's no reason why a two-hour movie can't deliver the same thing as a Game of Thrones when it comes up to a conversational piece. So really understand the value of time, I would say, is a very big takeaway for me.
Well, I love it, Michael. You've definitely given me a lot of food for thought, and I'm still going to go out and enjoy the series I enjoy and do the things I enjoy, but just do it with consciousness and awareness. So that way one day, you know, you're not looking back and realizing how much time you've spent, because you have time and you have money. And those are probably two of the most important things to people out there. And I'll never forget, Michael, when I was doing career consulting about 10 years ago, it was 2009, and there was a woman who was really struggling. You know, she had been unemployed for 7 or 8 months. And here we were at Starbucks, and she probably spent about $7 or $8 at Starbucks where our meeting was on coffee. And I just kind of inquired, I was like, oh, you know, tell me, how often do you come to Starbucks? And she said, oh, well, every day. And I said, had you given any thought to that $7 or $8 you spend every day on your coffee and your tea cake or whatever it is, and how you multiply that times 30 and you get to a pretty large amount that you're spending in a month, you know, a couple hundred dollars. And she said, you know, I never really thought about it that way. And so I think that we can look at our money, or we can look at our time, or whatever's most important to you, just with a sense of self-awareness. And just by bringing that sense of awareness to it, I think it expands our ability to appreciate the thing and to maximize it, whether it's money or time.
Absolutely. Now, you weren't talking about my 17-year-old daughter, because she has the same problem with Starbucks.
It's everybody's problem. Many of us have that problem.
she didn't clue in how many times she used Starbucks this month. So just very familiar. Sorry about that, Jennifer. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
I can agree more. Awareness can really account for many different things.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, tell our listeners, if they want to look more into your company or the consulting services, or a little bit more about you as an individual, where would they find information about you or the company?
So they can look us up at www.mbu.ca. We are a managed services IT company that really focuses on business outcomes and business process. And you can follow me on Twitter and or LinkedIn. My handle is NeverQuitMC. Read a bit more about me through social media.
I love it, Michael. Thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for our listeners for being patient. We got started a little late today. We had a few technical difficulties, so we appreciate your patience throughout that process. And again, you know, sending our thoughts out to everybody in California impacted by any of the fires or any other disasters or things that you might be struggling with in your life. I know here we are talking about time, and a lot of people have big things on their plates that they're worried about today. So our thoughts are with all of you, and thank you for taking time,
yes,
no matter what your circumstances are, to tune in today or at a later time. And, you know, for taking this 35 minutes out of your day and, you know, making it a part of your day. So thank you so much for that. Thank you to Michael for joining us today. And if you missed any portion of today's show, as a reminder, you can find it on iTunes later on the week under Get Yourself the Job. You can also find it on latalkradio.com, channel 1, under Get Yourself the Job. And at the bottom of the page, you'll find an archive of all of the shows over the last 3 years. So if you're interested in Dr. Paul White's show, or if you liked this episode and want to go back and listen to it again, I'll be sure to include a bio about Michael, as well as a website for his company. And thank you so much for everybody's listening. And thank you again to you, Michael.
Thank you, Jennifer. It was great having you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have
Sorry
a great week.
That.
No Thank worries. You. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.